coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Love Letters, a Bible study on the epistles with Pastor Arno Bessel of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the series of Bible studies on the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Colossians. In our last study, we considered relevant aspects of Christian living that flows from the fellowship of the believer with Christ. The Apostle Paul continues to explore this theme in his letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verse 18 to chapter 4, verse 1, where we read, "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service, as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." Wives, submit to your husbands. This has been and continues to be a controversial subject. Some are of the opinion that this statement should be erased from Scripture altogether. The question is, what is meant by submission? Submission does not mean blind obedience to and passive acceptance of abusive treatment given by a husband to his wife. Submission here means putting oneself willingly under someone's care, love, and protection. In marriage and family relationships, order is necessary. This requires leadership. In order to live together in harmony, it is necessary that one leads and another follows, much like members of an athletic team do to achieve success. The submission spoken of here is submission as is fitting in the Lord. Christians submit to the Lord who loves, sustains, protects, and guides them. In a similar way, wives submit themselves in the Lord to their husbands. Submission is intimately bound to love. The Apostle says, "Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them." So if husbands are given the role to lead the way, they shall do it in love, just as Jesus leads the way in his love for us. By love is meant sacrificial love. Love that is self-giving, love that seeks the well-being of the other, love that is kind, understanding, patient, and expects no reward. Then children are addressed. Paul's letter was to be read in public worship. Since children were considered members of the church and part of worship, the Apostle speaks directly to them, saying, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." Parents are God's instruments to bring up children. So obedience to parents is pleasing to God. Children are asked to obey their parents in everything, except when parents require them to do something sinful. In this case, shall prevail what is said in the book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 29, "We must obey God rather than men." On the other hand, fathers also have their duties concerning their children. The Apostle says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." Discipline and encouragement, law and gospel, are necessary when raising children. Limits need to be taught to children with love since early childhood. At the same time, encouragement accompanied with kindness and gentleness are necessary. Having said that, the apostle moves from family relationships to the field of work. He says, "Slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters." Paul does not condone slavery or advocate revolt. Both the Old and the New Testament include regulations for society situations such as slavery. Those regulations, however, do not support slavery as such. They only supply practical ways of dealing with the realities of the day. The obedience recommended to slaves shall not be just external or meant to be seen, but with sincerity, as fearing the Lord who one day will reward out of grace all his servants. There are equally words addressed to the masters. The apostle says, "Masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." Masters are not given the right to do anything that pleases them in relation to their slaves. They also are subject to a master, to the supreme master, God himself. Therefore, masters are required to give fair treatment and reward their slaves with the living means they honestly have earned. The principles outlined here in relation to slaves and masters are applicable today to employees and employers. Both have their duties and their rights, which shall be respected. After dealing with human relationships at home and at work, the apostle gives further instructions in his letter to the Colossians, chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." Paul began his letter praying and encouraging Christians to pray. Now he returns to the subject. God speaks to us in his word. We speak back to him in prayer. Constant and regular prayer is vital in the lives of Christians. Prayer goes hand in hand with being watchful, that is, staying alert for specific needs to pray about, rather than being vague and unfocused. Paul mentions specific needs the Colossians shall include in their prayers. He also asks them to pray God may open a door for the proclamation of the message of Christ. He asks them to pray God may open a door for the proclamation of the gospel of Christ. The apostle was in prison, but he was eagerly looking for opportunities to announce Jesus Christ. Paul was hoping to be released from prison and then travel around and preach in the gospel so that the salvation in Jesus Christ would be unveiled to many. This stands as a reminder for us to constantly pray for mission work, missionaries, teachers, and all church workers who in one way or another are engaged in the proclamation of the gospel. By the practice of prayer, each and every one of us can be a missionary, asking God to open doors for the proclamation of the gospel and blessing the efforts that are done in this field. Paul also encourages all believers to walk in wisdom towards outsiders, make the best use of the time. By outsiders are meant unbelievers. Our lives should reflect and practice what we believe. Jesus says, "Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." To make the best use of the time implies in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ whenever and wherever possible. In our daily contacts and conversation with people, there can appear precious opportunities to give testimony to Christ and to share what we believe. Speaking about conversation, the apostle says, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." In other words, we shall speak what is wholesome, fitting, kind, sensitive, purposeful, complimentary, gentle, truthful, loving, and thoughtful. Our language shall be seasoned with salt. Salt not only adds flavor, but prevents corruption. So the speech of a Christian should act not only as a blessing to others, but as a purifying influence within the decaying society of the world. We are nearly reaching the end of Paul's letter to the Colossians. In chapter 4, verses 7 to 9, he writes, "Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts, and with him Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here." Tychicus was from Asia Minor and closely associated with Ephesus. He accompanied Paul on his last journey to Jerusalem and acted as an envoy for Paul to other churches. Paul speaks well of Tychicus, describing him as a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. Men like this are much needed in our days to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send men like Tychicus to his harvest. Paul sent Tychicus to the Colossians as a news bearer. With very limited means of communication in those days, the apostle sent Tychicus with the very purpose to tell the Colossians of his condition and to encourage them in the Christian faith. Along with Tychicus, Paul also sent Onesimus, whom he describes as our faithful and beloved brother. Onesimus was a runaway slave from Colossae who came to Paul and was converted. Now he, together with Tychicus, are news bearers from Paul to the Colossians. They certainly delivered the letter of Paul to the Colossians. In the final lines of his letter, Paul mentions a number of names of peoples who sent greetings to the Christians in Colossae. Chapter 4, verses 10 to 18 tell us the following. "Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him, and Jesus, who is called Justus. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea, and to Nympha, and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea, and say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Aristarchus was from Macedonia, and he accompanied Paul to Ephesus, Jerusalem, and Rome. He was probably with Paul while he was under house arrest and attended to his needs. Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, was also known as John Mark. He probably is the author of the Gospel of Mark. He accompanied Paul during the first missionary journey. Paul advises the Colossians to welcome Mark. Also, Jesus, who is called Justus, is mentioned by Paul. This disciple appears only here in the New Testament. Jesus was a common Jewish name. Mark and Jesus were Jews, and Paul speaks very highly of them because they worked with Paul for the kingdom of God and provided comfort for the apostle during difficult times. Apart from Aristarchus, Mark and Jesus, also Epaphras sent greetings. He probably was the founder of the church in Colossae, and now he was with Paul. Epaphras is described by Paul as a servant of Christ Jesus, always struggling on behalf of the Colossians in his prayers. Prayer is not always relaxing or meditative. Intercessions for others can resemble a wrestle. Praying, that's what Epaphras could do from the distance for his church. He prayed that the Colossians may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. Paul gives testimony that Epaphras had worked hard for the Christians in Colossae, Laodicea, and Hierapolis. Epaphras probably served as pastor in these three churches. To the list of greeting senders is added the name of Luke, the beloved physician, who often accompanied Paul on his travels. Also the name of Demas is added. He was a Christian worker who would later abandon the faith. Then Paul himself sends greetings not only to the Colossians, but also to the brothers at Laodicea, and to Nympha and the church in her house. For the most part, the early church had no buildings, so it usually met for worship and instruction in homes. In the present case, Nympha generously offered her house as a meeting place. Paul gives clear instruction that his letter be read also in the church of the Laodiceans. The practice of the early church was to read Paul's letters aloud to the assembled congregation. Paul also sends words of encouragement to Archippus, probably the son of Philemon, to fulfill the ministry received from the Lord. Paul concludes his letter stating, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Paul's custom was to dictate his letters and pen a few greetings himself. His personal signature was the guarantee of the authenticity of the letter. Then the apostle asks the Colossians to remember his chains, that is, to pray for him because he was in prison. We conclude this series of studies on the letter of Paul to the Colossians with his own words, Grace be with you. Thank you for reflecting with us in this study. Please join us again next time.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.